You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach is back, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Tuesday, February 4th. The average price of a gallon of milk in Wisconsin is $3.07. That's actually down 5 cents from yesterday. The average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, 5 1/4, down 12 cents.
That's what the reporting says.
From yesterday. Lots of things coming up on the show for you today. Abigail Sweats from Fair Wisconsin is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. We're going to talk about concerns from the LGBTQ plus community now that we are in the second Trump term. So Abigail will be joining us after 10:30. Next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, we're going to talk about Elon and his Brinions.
And that's a Jane Matinair coined term.
It's a combination of bro and minions.
We're going to put it on T-shirts and make very little money.
Elon and his Brinions essentially taking over the Treasury Department. Nothing to see here.
Nope.
Everything is just fine. Okay. We'll talk about that after the 11 o'clock news. Also breaking as we were coming on the air this morning, the confirmation of Bob Kennedy Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr., is going forward. He got moved forward this morning, despite the earlier misgivings of Senator Bob Cassidy, who is a doctor, who was very concerned before, I don't know, he had a nice conversation with J.D. Vance, with his vast medical knowledge, I'm sure, was helpful in getting Senator Cassidy to throw his support behind Robert Kennedy Jr. So we'll see what happens if the Democrats have enough to stop this.
Yeah.
When it comes down to the final vote. We do want to start off with something local, and we're very excited to have in studio with us Stuart J. Waddle, as part of our fantastic Civic Media News team. Good morning, Stuart. Thanks for joining us.
This is awesome. Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Today, it's already today.
We're voting.
We're voting.
End of the polls already.
Early voting underway today in Wisconsin.
Just seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. I know. And in Racine County, and in one of the areas that we're covering here, they voted in December. They had a special election for a county executive, so it's even more fresh.
You lucky Racine people. Yeah.
We just got to keep voting and voting and voting.
So what are the specifics? Now, this is for the primary.
Primary in-person absentee starts today. So Okay. Officially, normal voting day is February 18th, but you can go to most places. The bigger cities have the in-person option, like at libraries and city halls and such. Some folks, like in Kenosha, you just go to the clerk's office. You can do it there.
And vote early there.
And that's early in person. The same way it would be for going to the polls. You're just doing it at the clerk's office or wherever.
MyVote.wi.gov, if you don't know where to go.
Isn't that a great website?
It is. It's so useful. It has everything you need, and all you have to do is enter your address.
Yeah, and it tells you what's on your ballot, so you can do your own research before you go and, well, who is this person?
Never
what am I voting
them.
For here?
Exactly.
Yeah, and then it tells you where to vote. So there's places that when you voted in November, probably aren't going to be the same places that you vote today. So some places do change from election to election. And that website, myvote.wi.gov, is the repository for all that great info.
Yeah. So if you're not sure where to cast your early ballot,
Check
at myvote.wi.gov.
And the deadlines, too. There's a lot of these dates that pop up. Well, you can't get an absentee ballot after this date, or you have to do it before then. All of that is at that website. And I can't stress that enough. That website is so good.
It's free.
It's free.
Yeah, it's absolutely free. Besides, the big race for the primary anyway, is for state school superintendent.
That's the one everyone's seeing.
There are three people who are running for this. This vote will take it down to the final two.
Right. And that's what everybody in the state is seeing on their ballot today. And other than that, you may see like a school board race. You may see a referendum. Kenosha's got a referendum on there February 18th, I guess. their ballot now that's ongoing. But yeah, the statewide one is the superintendent race.
Any other races that are of particular interest, do you think?
There is one in Milwaukee. There's the special election to replace Alderman Brostoff.
Yes.
So there have been some ongoing forums. I think there's 8 candidates that are on the ballot to take that seat. And again, that's a primary to kind of whittle it down. So that's an interesting one that people on Milwaukee's east side are seeing.
We have a text from Sue in Franklin listening to WAUK. She says, do you have insight recommendations for the superintendent position? We will be talking about those positions, hopefully getting those candidates on the shows in the coming weeks before the primary.
It's 2 weeks from today.
But we're not going to tell you who to vote for, but we can say, she also says, do you have to vote for 2 of them or just one? You're going to vote for the one you want. This is the primary. The top 2 of the 3, whomever makes it through, will be in part of the general, which will take place on April the 4th, correct?
April 1st.
April 1st. Yeah, it's April Fool's. Yes.
April Fool's. I'm sorry, that was a joke. It was April Fool's. So, Sue, you just vote for one person. That's it. You don't have to vote for 2.
And from what I understand, Stuart, there are essentially 2 Democrats and 1 Republican that are running for state school superintendent.
Right. We got Dr. Jill Underlee. I think the name is pretty well recognized. Jeff Wright. And then Brittany Kinzer is the other name that you'll be seeing on the ballot. So 3 of them, top 2 will go on to the April 1st general.
I believe.
Is it the general? Spring
election. Yeah. I believe Pat Kreitlow has had at least one of the candidates on his show on Up North News Radio.
He had Dr. Underlee on this morning and is going to be having another candidate on and is working to have that third as well. What he has said is they're still reaching out to this third person to see if they can come on. But he has hoped to have all 3 on the show so he can ask them just a series of questions, have them on. It's a nonpartisan discussion just to kind of make your case for why people should vote for you in the primary and then in the general.
Well, and again, if you would like to go back and listen to Pat Kreitlow's interview with Jill Underlee, you can probably find that. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, and go to Up North News Radio. That is the spot where you can find that.
And that's in the second hour from today, today being February the 4th, Tuesday.
Dr. Jill is actually in Milwaukee today. She's got an endorsement. She'll be appearing with the members at the SEIU.
Oh, wonderful.
Something else to keep in mind, and I think it's important, Stuart, too, is everybody's drawn to the big sexy races, Supreme Court and, you know, senators and all that stuff. But we talk frequently about how these smaller races, particularly school boards and things like that, that has a much more direct impact on folks' lives.
It is. And then, but then you remember how many things you were getting in your mailbox up until November. Have you seen anything?
I'm not
sure if you have a school district race in your area. I do.
Are you getting bombarded?
Nothing. That's the strange thing, like you say, that these are the important races that people should be paying attention to. I'm not getting much of anything for the Kenosha race. So
isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. I guess that's a good way to put it. It's interesting. But you're saying this is such an important race, and that there's been more spotlight on it in the past 5, 6, 7 years, that it's strange that you don't see out of these 5 that at least 1 or 2 of them are getting funding from somewhere.
Yeah.
Is that indicative, though, of just counting on people not getting informed?
Maybe. Or they don't have any money. Maybe I want to run, but I don't have the resources. I'm not rich. I don't have the backing. I'm running. My name is here, but I don't know how to get out there to spend on the mailers.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It really is.
And a lot of times these candidates only have enough money for 1 really good targeted mailer. And nowadays we just don't live in those days. I mean, like what you're saying, Stuart, I mean, my God, I think I was throwing Kamala mailers away 2-1 on Trump towards the end. I was getting them just stuffed in my mailboxes. And it's all this money coming through. And between, I don't see superintendent getting to be where the judge's race will be. But
As far as money is spent,
absolutely. Yeah. But I'm looking at my ballot, which is the same as you in Kenosha. And we've got, so far, our ballot has 3 things on it. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's not enough sometimes to get people out there. And this is public instruction, board member for the school district, and a referendum question.
Big referendum.
So these are the things, folks. If you live in Kenosha, like we said before, you can actually go to myvote.wi.gov, or you can go to Civic Media's website. It all ties in together. You can find out what's on your ballot.
Yeah, and Kenosha has been very active in pushing it. Like most districts who have these referendums.
They both work.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, they both
that's
work. I looked it up.
But they have these ongoing forums. So for the past 3 or 4 weeks, every week, they come on out, Kenosha Unified leaders, telling you about the referendum and kind of selling you on it, which some people consider, well, you're using the district resources to try and go out and get more money. Some people have a problem with that, but sure. I understand you got to do what you got
to
do.
Well, you got to inform the people. I mean, at the very least, you just have to say, this is what's happening. This is the question. Here's what we're voting on. Some will say this, some will say that. We're just giving you the information as needed. And it should be the most public forum as possible because, I mean, like, I don't want to use the term sexy elections. These are important elections.
Right.
They are important elections. And I know, and we've talked about this too, everybody's tired of hearing, this is the most important election in your life. Every election is really important, and every election actually does impact you personally.
It does. And it's strange, I think, how they schedule these referendums. I know you guys have talked about this in different topics, but why did they pick a February referendum when turnout isn't going to be the lowest, the highest to put your big referendum on? So like you were talking about, are you doing this for a reason? Are you hoping that people don't come out or do come out, or what's your angle?
I think I know some of the angle, like, because it's just a matter of, you know, there are people out there who vote every time, every single time. And a lot of those people aren't young people. They're not college kids. They're not, sometimes they're not old, and even older folks either. They're just that like 35 to 55. They're going to be there every time.
No matter what.
No matter what. And it's, I think it's targeted. I think it's strategy. And, you know, I haven't looked over the school board referendum or the school referendum, but the other referendum question as far as voter ID, that one is like, we all need to know what that's about. Let's learn the language. Let's learn about it. Then you make your decision.
And just to add on to that, Racine has one as well, but they've scheduled it for April 1st. So it's a similar ask for more money, but they're doing it at a different time. And it's just kind of, it's a good comp because it's Racine, Kenosha. Mm-hmm. These are two similarly sized areas.
Right.
So it's just interesting to why one did one at the different times.
If you're just joining us, Stuart J. Waddles is our guest with the Civic Media News Team, and we're talking about early voting. Yes, it is underway today. 855-752-4842. Nancy from Wausau is on the line. We're up against the clock, Nancy, but thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
I just want to say I was just on Chad Holmes' show down here in Wausau, or up here in Wausau from you, and those local elections are so important, and we need to drive turnout. Your school boards and county boards and things like that, those races affect you more than what it even affects you in the darn White House, sadly. And, you know, it is very much a strategy that they put that referendum on the ballot because, sadly, those people tend to turn out their ilk more than what Democrats and progressives do. And it's,
I appreciate it, Nancy. I'm so sorry to cut you off. We are under a time crunch here. You make a great point. Get out and vote. It affects all of us. It's very important. Every election, baby, we can do it. Be a voter. Everybody who's anybody is
voting is sexy.
Oh, it's cool. Stuart J. Waddles, thank you so very, very
much. I'm going to go get my sticker so I can impress you guys.
Really appreciate it. We're talking tariffs when we come back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the board lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same for both, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform shedding losers like a husky blowing its coat in winter. After winter. What do you think?
That was great. Look at you. You're so proud. I don't know now, Jane. I feel like you're setting yourself up for every day.
Well, I'm working on it.
Okay.
We're a work in progress, is what I like to say. After the 10:30 news, Abigail Swetz from Fair Wisconsin is going to be joining us. A lot of concerns, and justifiably so, unfortunately, among the LGBTQ plus community. Under the second Trump administration, we're going to talk to Abigail about what she is hearing from folks. Next hour, after the 11 o'clock news, we are going to spend the half hour talking about Elon Musk. Nobody voted for him,
nope,
as far as I'm aware, essentially taking over the Treasury Department over the weekend. Nothing to see here.
Nope.
Right now, though, we wanted to talk a little bit about tariffs. I do want to get to this text, though, that came in from Bud from Janesville. listening on WAUK. Just a heads up, all of the papers I deliver in Madison, like the Wisconsin State Journal, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, were not available for delivery today, possibly tomorrow, because of some network issue. Thank you, Bud. Bud from Janesville, who listens faithfully to our rebroadcasts, but can't win contests at that time. He sent us texts about 3 o'clock in the morning saying, I'm listening to your show. And why can't I text to win? Because I'm listening. It's because it's a rebroadcast. Thank you so much for that, Bud. Really, really appreciate it. We do want to talk about tariffs.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Calvin, we played a clip from Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson, who actually had an opinion on Trump's tariffs. Let's play that clip, please.
But in general, tariffs are a tax. When you tax something, you get less of it. So we'll probably get fewer imports, but then with retaliation, fewer exports. Smoot-Hawley was not a particularly successful round of tariffs back, helped spark the Depression. So I share the market's concern in terms of, but we'll see what Trump really has in mind here. I know he used tariffs very effectively. When Remain in Mexico wasn't working until Mexico started cooperating under the threat of tariffs. So, again, I can't predict exactly how this comes up, but I'm concerned.
That is amazing. That's amazing that he would say anything. Of course, you know, he's going to capitulate and say, well, you know, Donald Trump is the smartest, most brilliant, genius person in the world, and everything he does is good. And now, of course, Donald Trump is declaring victory over Canada and Mexico, and he has halted the tariffs now on Canada for 30 days after he had a little chat with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. One little sticking point, though,
yeah,
about this big win of Donald Trump's, and Caitlin Collins on CNN pointed this out when she was having a discussion with
Warren Davidson, who is in Ohio. He is the Ohio congressman from the 8th District,
Calvin,
Republican.
Do we have that clip from Caitlin Collins from CNN, please?
It's ravaged hometowns. Everyone understands the fentanyl crisis. But one, the amount of fentanyl that comes from Canada is nowhere near the scale of the southern border. A lot of it comes through legal ports of entry. But on this specifically, he called this off, saying that he had won concessions from both of them, but is there a tangible concession in your view?
Yeah, absolutely. He won the concessions, and it's a commitment from Trudeau that wasn't there.
Not
to help with fentanyl, to help with the black market.
Well, he announced the plan
and to secure the border.
He announced that plan though 6 weeks ago, back in December.
Well, at least he's reiterated it and formalized it. And
well, so this was something Trudeau agreed to in December. In December,
who was the Jane, hold on. I'm just checking my supercomputer here. My hand. Who was the president in December?
It was Joe Biden.
Joey B's was the president.
He was the president. Yes. So this was the deal that was already done, essentially. But he reiterated it.
Yes.
So that's what was important. That was worth roiling the stock market yesterday. That was worth freaking out people all over the country, expecting $9 avocados, all worth it, just to have Justin Trudeau reiterate an agreement to things they had agreed to in December.
I don't even, honestly, that is ridiculous to me. The notion that they would call this, they're calling this a win.
Oh, yeah, but that's standard ops.
Let it not be said. Anybody listening to the show, if you hear someone saying, this was a win for Trump, this was diplomacy, anything like that, no. This is him pulling back on what he knows is a bad idea. He is, and we're seeing it from other countries. They're saying, oh, you want to do it to us? We will do it to you. And let's see, you're worried about the price of eggs? Wait for the price of everything. So this whole notion of like, oh, it's a total win. It's a total win. What? Because Trump called him and said, hey, I just wanted to remind you about that thing in December. I win.
Complete win.
Complete win.
I think it's important to note that Chuck Grassley, 9,000-year-old Chuck Grassley of Iowa, he was very upset about the tariffs affecting farmers. Because guess what? Chuck's got a farm.
I love how they're just all of a sudden. I love when any politician is just concerned about the farmers, baby. Got to take care of
them. Because I'm one of them.
Yep.
Not completely tariff-free because China has announced they're going to retaliate with 15% tariffs against the U.S. This could mean higher prices on electronics, shoes, a whole bunch of other stuff as these tariffs come into effect. It'll be interesting. Jay Foreman, who is a CEO of Basic Fun, a U.S. toy company that makes products in China, says the tariffs would mean lower profits for his company and higher prices for his consumers. But tariffs, it's a beautiful word, Greg. Tariffs are a beautiful, beautiful word. And tariffs are going to fix everything.
Well, they are how we get things done in here. It's been like that forever. Tariffs have always done the job. And now I'm seeing people turn into they're turning into history majors now. Like, we don't understand about old days and tariffs. Well, these aren't the old days. No. These aren't the 1800s.
No.
And I love that Ron Johnson is sharing the concern of the market.
Thanks, Ron. Really appreciate you looking out for us. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll talk to Abigail Sweats from Fair, Wisconsin. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, in case you haven't downloaded it yet. Store, look for the Civic Media app. It's completely free, and you can sign up for news updates in your local community. So no matter where you are, if you're in Park Falls, if you're in Oshkosh or Eau Claire or here in Racine or in Waukesha, our news team is spread out all over the state, and they curate news for you depending upon where you live. It's really pretty great. That, too, is completely free. So download and update the Civic Media app, and then select the communities across Wisconsin where you would like to get your news from. Our local and statewide news team is out there every single day chasing down the stories. So check it out at civicmedia.us. Very excited to have our next guest join us. Abigail Sweats is the executive director of Fair Wisconsin. Good morning, Abigail. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Abigail, for people who aren't familiar with Fair Wisconsin, what is your mission? What is your role?
Yeah, Fair Wisconsin is our state's only statewide LGBTQ plus civil rights and political advocacy organization. So our mission is to build a Wisconsin that is safe and inclusive for our LGBTQ plus community, where every single one of us can live openly and authentically, and we can all thrive.
How long has Fair Wisconsin been in existence?
We are in our 31st year.
Wow.
That's pretty long time for an LGBTQ plus organization, not only for us to be sustained that long, but for us to go back that far. I don't think people realize this, but even before then, Wisconsin was the first state to have sexual orientation added to its non-discrimination statute. And that was back in 1982, signed by a Republican governor. We were known as the first gay rights state.
Under a Republican.
Now we're a little behind the time.
Yeah.
Now, need to get gender identity now, added to that. Now, but still.
Now we're going backwards.
I know. Sorry. Let's go forward.
I'm still wrestling. So was that under Tommy Thompson?
No. I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry.
What year was
said it?
It
if I wasn't going to be able to get his name.
You said 82.
I think it was Anthony Earle.
Tony Earle?
Tony Earle. Yeah.
Tony Earle. That's it. Yep.
Wow.
The year I was born. Big year for Wisconsin.
Well, how progressive of us.
Lee Dreyfus. My mistake.
Lee Dreyfus. Okay.
There we go. Sure. Sorry.
That one. You remember that one.
Isn't it a great fact?
Wonderful LGBTQ history. We're learning together.
We're learning.
That's what we love to do on this show. Absolutely. Learn and have fun whenever possible. Not so much fun now for our LGBTQ plus friends and neighbors. I can't imagine what you're hearing from folks now that we are in the second Trump administration, which is very obviously not LGBTQ plus friendly.
No, we're in a tough spot right now, our community. And specifically, our trans family members are absolutely under attack from this administration. We saw it during the campaign. We're seeing it now in the attempt at some policies through executive order. And I actually want to say up front, just on the idea of community, I am a member of the LGBTQ plus community. I identify as a queer woman, but I'm not trans. And I think it's incredibly important that our trans and non-binary voices are incredibly strong in this movement. And I also very firmly believe that marginalized and oppressed identities should not always be put in the position of having to defend their own existence and their own lives. And so I think it's really incumbent on us as an LGBTQ plus and as allied communities to really step up and be strong and center the voices of our trans and non-binary family members and friends and neighbors, but also not always put them in the position of defending their own lives. And so that's why I just want to make it really clear. I am here in it as a strong supporter of our trans and non-binary family members and also as a queer woman and as a leader in this movement. So we cannot forget that our LGBTQ plus community has faced hostile federal governments before. We are still here. We're going to continue to be here. And we are just going to be more and more focused on gaining ground and increasing protections at the state and local level. And we just have to remember that the power of a democratic government is rooted in us, the people, and the LGBTQ plus community is a part of that us. And we're not going anywhere.
You know, I love hearing what you have to, what you're saying about this, because it's so, I feel like, especially, I want to bring up, God, what's his name? He ran for senator. He's from California, doesn't live here. And just
Eric Humphrey.
Thank you. One of the things that he did that really angered me was how he used trans kids as a campaigning pillar. How he was scared for them and then used information on self-harm and things like that incorrectly to push his point to only what I feel like make trans kids more unsafe, if that was any more possible in this country. But he actually used this information as campaign fodder to say, well, this is the problem. We just, you know, these trans kids are, and he just, I was so livid when I saw that story, because to me, kids in general, period, need to be protected. They need to be helped. They need to be fostered into good lives. But trans kids, oh my God, like, I couldn't believe he did that.
Well, I think they use this whole issue. Again, it goes back to, we love children and we're doing this to protect our children from these irreversible medical treatments and you know, which, first of all, and we've been talking.
That's a lie.
It is a lie. Like,
so much of it is a lie. Yeah. And it's so, I'm going to say disingenuous. And I think that's a generous way to put it.
Yes.
We are FCC compliant. Yes.
I think it is actually calculated. That's what I wasn't going to swear.
Yeah.
But I do want to speak to those ads for a second, because I actually think this is something that people don't realize and is so important to understand, that I think we all saw the absolute onslaught of hateful anti-trans attack ads coming from the Senate campaign, from Hufti, all the way down up in my area in Green Bay. We were seeing them for assembly races. I mean, they were everywhere, from the smallest race all the way up to the presidential race, and they were disgusting and they were ugly. And the most important thing to know about them, though, I think, is that they did not work. Anti-trans attack ads did not drive voters. There is research that shows this, polling that shows that, yes, some of the politicians that ran them won. Hufti did not, as we know. But some of those politicians won. But their ugly rejection of trans people is not why. In fact, actually, that polling that I just mentioned, it shows the majority of the voters, including a majority of Republicans, found those ads to be mean-spirited. So people may have voted for some of those candidates, but they didn't vote to support that rhetoric or those policies. They didn't vote for those anti-trans attacks. And so I think it's important that we know that, because we need to know that the people who ran those ads do not have a mandate for their anti-trans agenda.
That's
and we cannot let them govern as though they do.
That's an excellent point, Abigail.
I mean, trans people are our family, our friends, our neighbors. They're also a very small percentage of the population. And I think that's one of the reasons that people, some politicians, think it's useful to target them. And it is not useful electorally, and more importantly, morally. But I think it's good to know both, right?
Yeah, I mean, and if anything, too, that piles on the amount of anger I had towards that campaign, of the fact that this man walked into Wisconsin saying, "I want this. It's mine. I'm rich. Give me my Senate seat," when he'd never understood the will of the people. And if Republicans are saying this is mean-spirited, then you don't know the people. And it speaks even more so to the fact that we may disagree on certain issues, but we do agree that kids, you know, should be off limits in your campaigning.
Absolutely. And I also think, you know, thank goodness we still have Senator Baldwin,
yes,
who does listen to the Wisconsin people and does stand for our values.
Yeah. Absolutely. If you're just joining us, Abigail Swetz is our guest. She is the executive director of Fair Wisconsin, which has been here for 30 years, my friends, 30 years in Wisconsin, advocating for the LGBTQ plus community. The other thing that amazes me, and when we go back to, and you had mentioned it too, Abigail, the percentage of people in America who are trans or identify are trans as trans is minuscule. It's a very, very small proportion. And when all of that rhetoric began, it was all about they're coming for your kids. They're coming to, I don't know, to trans your kids or something. And all of that seemed to back off as more and more reports. And I can find you 5 reports a week of a minister or some church leader or some faith leader who has been arrested for child sexual assault or child pornography or anything like that. The number of cases involving ostensibly straight white men far outweigh any kind of bad behavior by the trans community.
I think it's really important to think about how politicians were using a tiny proportion of our population to drum up fear about an unknown entity, right? Like, we are talking about people that most Americans say, another number I would say is important, most Americans say they've never met a trans person, but they are told so much about trans people. Those two facts mean that they're not told about trans people by trans people.
Right.
So the general public does not understand. And I think it's so important. That's why I said at the beginning, we have to center trans and non-binary voices. We also just need to learn and educate ourselves. It's so important. And I think because we are talking about such an, I don't want to say even, they are a misunderstood population. They're also just an ununderstood population. It is so important that we really focus on the learning. And I think because we are talking about such a small proportion, it is, again, quote, easy and wrong to demonize someone you just do not understand and do not know, right? And we've seen that throughout history. And it's so worrisome, because if anyone is unsafe in this situation, it is the trans person.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's something that we can talk about further as well, as far as the misunderstood within all communities. I identify as queer as well, and the amount of conversations I've had with people within the community who have no idea, because they just don't interact. But also, we saw more than anything this election, we saw so many people from the queer community using protecting the children to vote for Donald Trump. We're Trump Republican. I'm thinking about a couple. They're lesbians. They're like, "We are lesbians who support Donald Trump because we protect children." And I'm like, I don't know how to reach you now. I don't know how to reach the regular, not the regular, but the box standard version of a Trump supporter. But when you throw that into it, and you're like, well, why do you refuse to understand the community? And why do you believe that a kid can go to school as a little boy and come back as a little girl, as the now president says? Like, how do you talk to those individuals?
So a couple of things. Number one, when we say we are trying to protect children, we have to remember that part of that means that we have to listen to the children. And I was a middle school teacher before I became executive director of Fair Wisconsin. I was a gender and sexuality alliance advisor. I have had many trans students in my classroom, some of whom socially transitioned during the eighth grade year I had them. And that means that I had the unbelievable privilege of getting to see their joy and their authentic living. And I wish everyone had that beautiful privilege, but since we don't, I think we need to listen to those of us who did, or those of us who have gone through that transition, like the students that were in my classroom. And the other thing I'll say, I think when we hear this disgusting lie about like transing people, and specifically children, I think we are forgetting that what we are trying to do as supportive, loving adults who are teachers, who are medical professionals, wherever you are interacting, who are parents on this journey supporting their kids, we're trying to turn our kids into healthy adults, our trans kids into healthy adults who are trans, because we do know the worrisome statistics about when we do not meet the mental health needs of any child, including trans children. We want these children to grow up to be wonderful adults in our community.
We're going to continue our conversation with Abigail Swetz from Fair Wisconsin. Lori, I see you on the line. Please stay with us. We'll take you when we come back. By the way, no one is going to school a girl and coming home a boy. That's not a thing. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club, oh mama. I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, we will be talking, speaking of Elon, about Elon and his Brinions essentially taking over the Treasury Department over the weekend. That seems not good. Right now, though, Abigail Swetz is our guest. She's the executive director of Fair Wisconsin. And Lori from Shawano has been very patient waiting on the line. Good morning, Lori. Did you have a question for Abigail?
Well, I had a comment, actually. You know, the Republicans come off as being these big, tough guys, and they're going to pick on everybody, and they've got their guns, their big, burly, you know, bellies. And I just want to ask them, why are you scared of gays, trans, and lesbians? Did one beat you up? And then with J.D. Vance picking on women and cats, what's up with that? I mean, all these people and animals are safe, but, you know, a guy walks into a school, a store, theater, wherever, with the gun, and they're like, oh yeah, you're cool, man, because you've got a gun. You know, I wish the Democrats would push back and say, why are you scared of these people? Just turn it back on them and make them defend themselves, defend their positions on this.
Thank you, Lori. I really appreciate that. I think you make a good point, but I do think that at least for some of those people, they're going to go back to the favorite, well, it's in the Bible. Except for all the other things in Leviticus that they don't do and ignore, there's a lot of cherry picking that goes on when it comes to what we follow from the Old Testament and what we don't, at least in my estimation. Abigail, we did want to talk a little bit about executive orders and that have come out now from the White House in the last 2 weeks. I can't even imagine what members of the LGBTQ plus community are going through and how frightening this is.
Yeah, it's true. We are. Let's face it. Barely weeks, days.
2 weeks.
This administration. Yeah, counting them. And the onslaught against LGBTQ plus rights, specifically trans rights, is very real. And I think we have to be clear when we think about these executive orders, what is happening? What is happening is that the cruelty is the point, the confusion, the overwhelm is calculated. And this administration is targeting our family members, our friends, our neighbors, our trans siblings, obviously, also our immigrant neighbors, also our government workers, right? They're very deliberately trying to divide and overwhelm us. And we just cannot let it work. We have to come together as a community and across communities to really foster understanding and make our elected officials understand that this is not us. This does not represent us. And if you want to represent us, you need to stop this.
And what makes me crazy, Abigail, too, is there's all this parental rights push from the right. You know, parents have the right to determine what their children read, and parents have the right, you know, to raise their children, except apparently when it comes to medical treatment that their parents have determined with their doctors that this is the correct course to take. Then apparently parents don't know best. That makes me nuts.
It's an interesting argument that other people are trying to make, because I think we don't realize the degree to which this is a family parent consented decision when we are talking about the healthcare of our trans youth, right? Because that's what you're talking about. You're talking about gender affirming care, which is comprehensive, high quality, respectful care that is medically accurate, age appropriate, and requires parental consent. And when I talk to medical professionals who provide this care, and when I talk to parents who consent and support this care for their child, I hear about what it means to these kids and these full families to receive the care. And it is joyous. It is life affirming. And that makes one of the many executive orders that this administration has released, frankly, all the more disgusting.
If anyone has access, John Stewart, when he had a program on Apple called The Problem, The Problem with John Stewart, he had parents on of trans kids. And it will make you sob listening to these parents explain the journey that their kids went through and how it was completely, as you said, Abigail, life-changing and life-affirming when they started to receive the treatment that they needed to be the person that they are. It is so impactful. I highly encourage you to do a search for it if you can.
I was just going to say, we talk about the life-affirming, it's not even for the child. It's for the entire family, because you listen to these parents talk about how their kids light up because they know who they are and they are in the body they feel like they're meant to be. And that is something I just will never be able to understand why you'd want to take away. And to what Lori was talking about as far as why are they choosing these individuals? Well, a lot of it has to do with fear and ignorance.
And they're an easy target.
They're an easy target. They don't have the advocates that gun organizations and other places do. So it's easy to pick on these groups, and it just makes no sense to me whatsoever, because people who are trans, they live their lives so out loud and so excited that it's unbelievable. You only wish you could live like that sometimes.
Abigail Sweats, we're running out of time. We got to go to break. We have news at the top of the hour. We'd love to have you back. Abigail Sweats is the executive director of Fair Wisconsin. We will include a link in our show notes to Fair Wisconsin if you would like to find out more. If you would like to get involved, now is the time to do it. Thank you so very much for your time, Abigail. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
As we said, news is coming up next when we return. Elmo and his Brunions, whatever. Taking over the treasury, nothing to see here. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.